The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder why Christians are so pushy with their faith all the time. Take Carrie Prejean, alias Miss California at the Miss USA pageant. Why did this woman impose her religion on the contest, everybody's asking? She didn't. She didn't impose her religion. She was merely answering a question about a difficult subject. When asked for an opinion, one has a right to state the reason for her opinion. In Carrie Prejean's case, her Christian beliefs were her reason for believing that marriage should be defined as a union between a man and a woman. If the pageant was not interested in her opinion, they should not have brought the subject up. You don't ask a question and then whine simply because you didn't like the answer. Speaking of questions, I have a question for my feminist friends. And I do actually have some honest-to-goodness feminist friends, believe it or not. I really do. Isn't this a face you can trust? Look at your radio. Is this a face you can trust? I have some feminist friends. Now, how come more feminists aren't rushing to the side of Carrie Prejean? Correct me if I'm mistaken. I thought one of the pillars of feminism today is a woman's right to choose. Does that only apply to abortion? Not that I believe in abortion, and I suspect Carrie Prejean does not either. But having said that, when another life is not at stake, like the baby inside, who also deserves some choice, the concept of a right to choose in and of itself is an idea most of us would resonate with. There seems to be something just a tad bit disingenuous about a movement that will rally for a woman's right to choose and then not support her choice when she chooses to have an opinion that's anything other than politically correct. Carrie is being hailed as a hero by many. Others, including the officials of the Miss California pageant, are encouraging her to tone it down a bit. Now, I just have to wonder if Miss Prejean would be asked to tone it down had she merely smiled at the judge and said, I want to work to promote world peace. Had she said that, she would have sounded less like a feminist, less like a woman of power, more like a Valley Girl twit. Nobody would have known exactly what she meant or how a beauty contest winner was going to convince the likes of Hugo Chavez, Kim Jong-il, Ahmadinejad, or Hamas to work toward world peace. Still, I am convinced that if she gave that meaningless answer, nobody would be asking her to tone it down. This courageous woman needs our support, and I'm happy to announce that she's committed to coming on our program just as soon as we're able to record an interview, and that'll be sometime next week. You are listening to The Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. And believe it or not, the Miss USA pageant is not the only unique experience of American culture. Premiering at movie theaters around the country this week, Star Trek. I'm not so sure that was the most creative title for the movie, in as much as there have already been 10 Star Trek movies. Oh, what's your favorite Star Trek movie? Well, I like the one called Star Trek. Besides, we already had Star Trek the Motion Picture, although some fans referred to it as Star Trek the Motionless Picture. Hey, but I liked it when they spent 15 minutes watching the Enterprise fly slowly into an energy field. I was on the edge of my seat. In any event, the premiere of this latest incarnation of Star Trek is being greeted with enthusiasm because it's directed by J.J. Adams, director and producer of Lost, which suggests that it may be just a little bit better than some of the other Star Trek movies, at least better than Star Trek 1. one at least better than Star Trek V. That's a guarantee, but it would be better than those two movies if J.J. Abrams filmed a documentary on how to assemble a screwdriver. Now, there have been so many incarnations of Star Trek over the years, ranging from the original series to the motion picture series to The Next Generation to Deep Space Nine to Voyager to Enterprise, but I'm leaving one series out. To the first caller who can tell me the name of one more Star Trek series, and I don't mean a Star Trek series over the internet, a Star Trek television series, to the first caller who can tell me the name of one more Star Trek series, we have a prize, and or you get an alternative question to the first person who can tell us which member of the original Star Trek cast was in every single incarnation of Star Trek on TV and was in every single Star Trek movie. We will give to you an AMC $20 gift card, redeemable for Star Trek tickets or tickets to whatever you'd like if you're not into Star Trek. And if you're a runner-up, I'll give you a free book that parallels the theme of our show, as William Shatner would put it, something parallel. A copy of my book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, the Harder, Less Frequently Discussed Question. So, AMC gift card goes to the first caller who can tell us the remaining Star Trek series that I didn't list, or the original cast member who was in every incarnation. If you're a runner-up, I'll give you a different trivia question and a consolation prize. I don't like to call my book a consolation prize, but compared to a couple of cool Star Trek tickets, it certainly is a consolation prize, but a darn good book. Give us a call, 1-888-344-1170. Once again, there was The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise, movie series, original recipe series, extra crispy series. What Star Trek series am I leaving out? AMC tickets given to the first caller. Follow-up callers get alternative questions and prizes as well. 1-888-344-1170. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. What the heck does Star Trek have to do with Christianity? Bob, we knew you were a Jesus freak. You're a Star Trek freak, too? I am, actually. No, I don't go to conventions. No, I don't wear costumes. But there are many themes in Star Trek compatible with Christianity. And who better to discuss this than the man who could find Christian themes in any film or any piece of literature, from Archie comics to an automobile maintenance manual to the single word stop on a red street sign. Please welcome film critic and short story writer, Mark Boubian.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
Good to be with you, Mark.
Great. Now, actually, I wanted to start by addressing a question. When I was here last time, we were talking about the Academy Awards, and we had a call in. And the question was, has Fireproof, the Christian film, been nominated for any of the Academy Awards? And the answer was a resounding no. But I really wanted to address the spirit of the question, which is basically trying to say, well, obviously it's a Christian film, so of course it didn't get any Academy Award nominations. And personally, I have not seen the movie, but I've heard universally from every person, even those who loved it, the same thing. And I would like to defer to Bob here, who has actually seen the movie. Was this an Academy Award-winning type of film?
Okay, first of all, I agree with anybody who says that the Academy is not likely to give out Christian films these days. Back in the 80s, Chariots of Fire, which was not only a Christian film, but a Christian film churches went to see, surprised everybody, won 4 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. It deserved to win, but it deserved to win because not only did it have a Christian theme, but it was well done, well executed, well acted, well written, well directed. Fireproof, I loved the story. I would even say as a writer that I didn't find it a badly written script. I didn't find the acting to be that great. And so in this particular case, probably for artistic reasons, you could say that Fireproof probably didn't deserve to win an Academy Award. Having said that, these days with the climate in Hollywood right now, if it had been meticulously artistically produced, it probably still wouldn't have won. That's as honest as I can be.
Okay, that's a good, honest answer. But I think that cuts to the chase there, that singling out Fireproof really isn't the best case you're going to make for the Academy being anti-Christian, if that is even the case. Now, let me go through some films here, Bob. You already mentioned...
Before you do, we already have 3 people on the line
my
for
gosh.
Our questions. So, Cameron, let's go to the phones. Let's begin with Robert in San Diego. Everybody else stay put, though, because we're going to ask you other questions. Let's start with Robert in San Diego. Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show.
Howdy, bro. How you doing?
Good. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing just grand. Just got off work.
And which of those questions did you want to choose to answer? You have the choice between the Star Trek series that we left off the list or the original cast member who's been in every single movie and incarnation of Star Trek. Which one do you want to tackle?
I can answer both. And
well, why don't you answer one so we could let somebody else on one of the lines try one of the
others. All right, let's go with this series that you left out.
Okay, what did I leave out?
Well, you know what? Okay, well, I really want to do both. You left out the animated series, the cartoon series.
That's the one we were thinking of. It was animated, and it was horrible animation, but it actually had the voices of
the original
cast.
And stuff.
Except for Chekhov.
Let me do it. The person you left out, because it's a wonderful person.
I know, but we want to give somebody else a chance, and they don't want you to steal their thunder. But
okay.
I'll tell you what, hang
you
on the line with us.
Question. You got it, bro.
We're going to send you those tickets, though. Hang on the line and give Cameron your information. And Cameron, before you take his information, let's go to the next person, Tori from San Diego. Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show.
Hello,
Tori. You're on the air.
Hi.
You must be on a cell phone.
Yes, I am.
Okay, we'll see how long it lasts. Somebody answered the first question. Do you know the answer to the second question? What was the name of the original cast member of Star Trek who was on every single incarnation?
Well, we thought we were going to answer the first question, which was the animation series.
And you are correct, but we had Robert already steal your thunder.
I heard Robert. Well, I know it's the voice for the computer.
You're absolutely right. Voice from the computer is Majel Barrett, who was Gene Roddenberry's wife. And she not only played the part of Nurse Chapel, but she also played Deanna Troi's mother. But even if you don't count those characters, she was the voice of the computer on everything related to Star Trek. Very good. You sound like you have a lot of people there with you.
We do. We have a lot of people in the car.
Can we ask you, are you huge Star Trek fans or are you mild Star Trek fans?
Mild Star Trek fan.
Mild, so you don't go to conventions and wear costumes, do you?
No, we don't do that.
Okay, because even Mark and I, much as we love Star Trek, wouldn't be able to associate with you if you did that. Okay. Listen, you're a great sport. Thank you for calling in. Give your information to Cameron, and we'll get you those tickets, too.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, well, we're giving away two pairs of tickets. We can go for consolation prizes, though. And so, well, let's see. Oh, we had a third person who's not on anymore. They must have given up. Okay, I'll tell you what. We have other Star Trek questions for you. You would get the consolation prize of the book, but let me throw out some of our other questions. These are easier, and that's why you're getting a consolation prize. Name the captain that Captain Kirk immediately succeeded, Captain Kirk, and the first member of the original cast to die. The first member of the original Star Trek cast to die. Pass away, not the character passing away, but the actor portraying him. And Mark, we'll continue now with the reviews while we're letting people sweat over those choppy questions.
Well, let me throw out another question too, because how about having somebody name the directors of all the movies, since the new movie is coming out with a new director? How about if somebody can name the directors of all of the movies?
Wouldn't it have to be some nerd who has no life like us to be able to come up with an answer?
It could just be somebody that checks IMDb.
I don't think even I know the directors of all of them. I'm ashamed to say I even know the directors of some of them.
Oh, I know them all.
I could never run for public office with all the Star Trek knowledge.
Yeah, well, I also know you've been to a convention, Bob, because you went with me. So there you go.
With you?
Yes.
To a convention? When did you and I go to a Star Trek?
Yeah, see, you didn't pay me enough before the show started. That's the problem here. So
I
had to let the cat out of the bag.
To a Star Trek convention?
You don't remember?
I do not remember.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not
it was a long time ago. It was probably 10 years ago, at least.
Is it something we were talking about doing and didn't actually do?
You know what? It was a friend of ours and myself. We decided to surprise you with it and kind of hijacked you and took you there.
And you took me to hear John Luke, the actor, giving his one-man show.
That's right, we did.
That was not a Star Trek convention.
No, we did. We saw, that was the one-man show? It was
Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol, that's right.
Now,
that was really good.
Having said that, I was at a Star Trek convention. When I say I didn't go to them, I mean I'm not in the habit. A friend of mine years ago, and this wasn't you, invited me to one, bought the tickets. I didn't have the heart to say no to her. And I actually did have a good time, but left to my own devices, I would not have gone. And I sure didn't put on a pair of Spock ears while I was there. All right, Mark, I'll give you a chance to see if you can think of when you took me to this fictitious car. I'm not saying I didn't go, but I must be getting Alzheimer's if I don't remember. No disrespect to anybody that has Alzheimer's. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show with film critic Mark Boobian discussing the Star Trek phenomenon, because the new Star Trek movie's coming out this week and it has a very originally creative title. It's called Star Trek.
Star Trek.
looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
Hey, this is Lori K. Lewis, a frequent co-host on The Bob Siegel Show, Talk Radio 1170 on KCBQ. If you have questions or comments during this radio broadcast, please call Bob at this toll-free number, 1-888-344-1170. Again, the number is 1-888-344-1170. We'd like to hear what you have to say.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Mark, does that even sound like William Shatner? That almost sounds like somebody doing a William Shatner impersonation.
I think it was William Shatner, yeah.
It might have been him off the animated series, but oh well. You know, Shatner, you know, I always keep hearing what a bad actor Shatner is. I don't know if anybody here has ever seen him on Boston Legal. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, I've seen him on that. He is actually very good. He's good in some other stuff.
He wasn't a bad actor. I think in Star Trek V, where he directed himself, his acting was pretty bad. But especially in the original series, he underplayed a lot more. Didn't talk quite as much like this. Although he did a little bit, even on that series.
Yeah, he did. But, you know, it was part of his character. It worked. I mean, that's how it was.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Film critic Mark Boobian. We're on the approach, on the awakening of the Star Trek movie premiering this week. We're reviewing the Star Trek phenomenon.
That's right. Okay, now the convention that I went to, that I am sure Bob went to with me, that he denies wholeheartedly.
Never happened, Mark. I have already admitted that I went to one, but this one that you're saying I went to with you would never. You're talking about our other Star Trek geek friend, Mike Rounds.
Yeah.
He went.
Yeah, and Jonathan Frakes and Marina Sirtis were there. But anyway, one of us has Alzheimer's, and I'm afraid to find out the answer to who it is now. So
we don't mean any disrespect
to the people with Alzheimer's.
But yes, I guess if anyone had it, they might forget they heard this anyway.
That's
so
true.
Maybe
there
it
you go.
Matter.
It works out fine. Okay, so anyway, I was talking about the answer to the question about Fireproof just really quickly, and then we'll go back to Star Trek. I wanted to name some Academy Award movies with Christian themes, and I've got several in the last 20 years, not the ones that are biblical epics from the 50s, but Chariots of Fire, Bob, you already mentioned, Atonement, 2007, Unforgiven, 92, Dead Poets Society, 1989, Master and Commander, 2003. That movie isn't really a Christian film, but it's in a Christian context. It's assumed all of the characters are Christian, which is something they used to do in Hollywood in the years past.
Some would say that Unforgiven isn't a Christian film either, although I think I'm on board with you with why you picked that.
Yeah, it's a deeply Christian-themed film. You have to look below the surface in order to get to it. It's not Christian on the surface.
Not that they necessarily intended it that way or meant to bring a big church market, but just that since art does reflect life, it certainly dealt with universal themes that are Christian.
Correct. I think it actually attacks themes specifically Christian, though, not just universal ones that cross over. Okay, and then the last one I have on the list here is Lord of the Rings, Return of the King from 2003. Now, that tied for the most Academy Awards with Ben-Hur. The main character, one of the main characters, has an obvious death, resurrection, and salvation moment in the film, and it was written by a man who brought C.S. Lewis to Christ, J.R.R. Tolkien, and C.S. Lewis is one of the great Christian thinkers of our time. So it is Christian through and through, and it's won 11 Academy Awards. So to say that, you know, only Fireproof is legitimate because it had an obvious Christian theme isn't, I don't agree with that, and here are some good examples that sort of deny that. Some other movies I would like to bring up, there's a director and a writer named Tyler Perry who's made some blatantly Christian fireproof like movies.
My girlfriend's kind of dragged me to some of his movies, yeah. But I have to admit, once I get there, I've actually liked them.
They're absolutely hilarious in places, but they're also very deeply emotional.
Yeah, they have a lot to say.
Yeah, and they're just great movies, and they make a ton of money.
Diary of a Mad Housewife. Yeah, some others.
A Mad Black Woman.
Oh, Mad Black Woman.
This year, Madea Goes to Jail was his most recent film.
That was funny. That was good.
It made $90 million, and it was released in February. It made this February the highest grossing February in film history. So this one movie made film history in a sense, and this is a totally Christian film. There's several others. I'm going to go ahead and forego those for Star Trek, though. But maybe some other time we can talk about some of the other Christian films.
Well, just
that
so that people
obvious.
Know, here's Mark's schedule. Now, we usually do our movie shows once in a while, but because Star Trek, the movie's coming out, we thought it would be fun to talk about the fact that Star Trek's just a cultural experience and does have Christian symbolism. Other times says things that are very devoutly non-Christian as well. But so what's happening is we're talking about Star Trek in general today. Then 2 weeks from now, Mark's going to come back and review the Star Trek movie. And he's doing it 2 weeks from now so that we can do a news show again next week and spread this out a little bit. So that's our plan. We're doing the before and then we'll do the after Star Trek show.
Yeah, and that sounds good to me. So, you know, my favorite Star Trek film is actually First Contact. My second favorite is one that's not really a fan favorite is Star Trek III. I think the biggest fan favorite, though, is Star Trek II.
The Search for Spock was one of your favorites?
Yes, it was, because it's the first time they blew up the Starship Enterprise. Now, that became a cliche later on.
I wish they'd blown
on.
Up the guy that wrote the script.
Oh, come on.
With,
oh, that's a good movie.
It stunk.
Oh, it did not.
It sucked rags with two straws. I mean, it got more serious and intense the second half, but the first half, the acting was campy and staged and
I agree.
Unbelievable.
It is the second half that makes the movie,
it
and
was
that's
better.
When they blow up
on
the Enterprise.
On the other hand, when the acting got better, it got depressing because Kirk's son died
yes.
and they blew up the ship.
Yeah, but that was challenging, and they didn't bring his son back to life by going back in time.
I've got a piece of trivia for you on this movie. You'll like this. David Gerald, who wrote The Trouble with Tribbles,
okay.
also wrote a lot of Star Trek books about Star Trek. After they blew up the ship in movie three, he said Star Trek can't continue anymore.
Oh, really?
Because
I didn't
the
know
only
that.
Thing constant about Star Trek was that ship.
Wow.
And of course,
they proved him wrong.
Yeah, because what's constant about Star Trek, of course, is they created this wonderful universe. And
right.
You didn't need the ship. You could
That's
have
right.
Deep Space Nine for crying out loud.
And Deep Space Nine absolutely proved that it didn't rely on the ship because it was on a space station. However, they did have bad ratings and they brought in a starship. In about, I think it's either season two or season three, they introduced
The Defiant
yeah. at that point, and that was because the ratings were bad and they felt they needed to get off the station. The other thing they did, though, is they started really ramping up the threat of the Dominion, which is, I think, the single greatest threat in any Star Trek series whatsoever. Deep Space Nine, I think, was the best series they've ever made.
And this is something where Mark and I, you've heard how often we disagreed on this show and agreed. Here's something that we agree on and we're almost alone. We both believe Deep Space Nine was the best of all the Star Trek series. And for those of you that liked Voyager more, we hate that one more than any
Absolutely.
Of the others. So if any of you are on our side and you want to call in and tell us we're right, we'd love to listen to you because we feel kind of alone loving Deep Space Nine.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric, Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Hey,
You're listening to the Bob Siegel Show with film critic Mark Boubian on the eve, not the eve, but a couple of eves before the coming out of the new Star Trek movie. We're talking about Star Trek, the cultural experience. Mark finds Christian symbolism in everything. Even I think there's some in Star Trek.
Yeah. Well, Star Trek, the later series was mostly, they focused really on humanism a lot of the time, especially with The Next Generation.
It got kind of politically correct, but
yes.
The original series seemed to talk about the savage, they didn't use the word sinful, but I think they were talking about the sinful side of man.
Of course they were, yeah. I mean, any art that's honest, I think, that looks at human beings is going to have to deal with what Christianity calls the sinful side of man. And as Star Trek, in the good episodes, when they were being honest about the way humans act, they certainly were showing that sinful side. And I think that one reason I like First Contact, the film, is because that's a Next Generation movie. After all the years of The Next Generation saying that humanity had evolved to a higher form of morality, they were more moral than the past, they deny that. And that becomes like the greatest moment almost in all of Star Trek filmdom is when John Luke is confronted. He says, in my century, we have a more evolved sensibility. And immediately he's confronted with that. And he wants to take revenge on the Borg, which is one of the great enemies in the Star Trek series in the Star Trek universe. And he says, this is not about revenge. And then goes on to convince us that it is about revenge. And it was about revenge for him. So his evolved sensibility falls away, and it doesn't exist at this point. It's completely contradicted and denied.
And it may be because Roddenberry was dead when they made that they got away with it. Because Roddenberry, who of course created the original series, did show the fallen side of man and then tried to move away from it in Next Generation. And one of the reasons they came out with Deep Space Nine is it was driving the writers nuts to always have a peaceful resolution. I mean, we may want world peace, but that makes for bad drama, unfortunately.
That's right.
So they came out with Deep Space Nine, where they could have the Cardassians, and they could have the Bajorans, and they could have the Dominion and races that hadn't evolved. And even the people, the human beings, since they're at this outpost, you can kind of understand why their tempers are flaring. And so the idea was to try to be true to Roddenberry's vision. However, having said that, Roddenberry was dead, and that's why they pulled that off. And his wife, Majel Barrett, said he would not have liked Deep Space Nine. And it's too bad because I think Roddenberry was kind of like George Lucas. He was the best Star Trek had to offer, and he was also their worst enemy at times.
Yeah, and in this case, he was. And it's important to note that the First Contact, the movie, was made in the middle of the run of Deep Space Nine. So it was influenced by Deep Space Nine.
In fact, the ship, the Defiant, from Deep Space Nine was in there. Boy, there must be people listening. Now, some of you are listening, and you're going right on. Both of you. Others are going, listen to the Star Trek Geeks. Hey, Fred, get a load of the Star Trek Geeks. They're on the radio right now.
Well, it has to, you know, being a Star Trek geek has to pay off sometime, Bob. So here it is, our 15 minutes, 1 hour of fame.
Well, I had the consolation of at least saying I didn't go to conventions, and now Mark's fabricated the story that I've even done that.
That's right. So it puts doubts in everybody's heads.
Here goes my plans to run for public office.
Yeah, mine too, actually. I should have thought about that beforehand.
That's all right, Mark. None of us are going to vote for you anyway, so don't worry.
Yeah, okay. That makes me feel a lot better. I feel much better now. But yeah, you know, the Deep Space Nine's great strength was this, what we're talking about, is what I referred to as sort of the dirty endings, where things didn't work out exactly right for them most of the time as it got later. There were loose ends. There were people that left you sort of devastated. There were episodes that left you somewhat devastated emotionally. And I think that was a very great strength of the show. Because, I mean, we, in a sense, we do want things tied up, but in another sense, as you pointed out, Bob, that makes for really bad television, bad drama. And that ended up being the failing of both Voyager and Enterprise. What happened with those shows is they went back to the formula of tying everything up, all the loose ends. There was nothing ever to leave you questioning, wondering. There was no emotional challenge in any of these shows.
There was another problem with Voyager, though, and not just the fact that they had a captain that talked like an elf, Mr. Chakotay. I don't just mean that. I mean the whole premise. What made Star Trek different was this universe. It wasn't Battlestar Galactica, and here I mean the original Battlestar Galactica or Lost in Space, where every week they're trying to get home. And you know, at the end of the episode, they're not going to get home. For 7 years, they're just trying to get home. That's a pretty low premise for a Star Trek series, I think.
That's right. And knowing they're not going to get home every episode, that sort of steals the primary conflict right out from under you.
They finally figured out that they're so far in the other end of the galaxy that they're with the Borg. So they brought the Borg into the show. And did that help a little bit? Yes. Did it save the show?
Absolutely not at all. Yeah. No. And then Enterprise suffered from exactly the same problem.
Well, I'll tell you, Enterprise really suffered because I never thought the day in my life. I got hooked on Star Trek in college. I mean, it was on the air when I was in junior high. It was in college repeats. I got hooked on it. I never thought the day could come when there'd be a brand new episode of Star Trek on that night and I wouldn't care. And I hardly watched any of the Voyagers. They were so bad. And when Enterprise came on, the few times I watched it, I actually did like it. But because of Voyager, I was so out of the habit of watching it that I really hardly saw any of Enterprise either.
Yeah, and I think part of the issue is that the show wasn't good enough to pull you back in. I mean, I watched the first season and most of the second season. The first season was actually all right. They were setting this theme up, this thread up, and then they dropped it more or less. And the show just became stupid and it just became, you know, embarrassing to watch. One of the most challenging episodes was this one where the Vulcan gets this sexually transmitted disease that she becomes an outcast for on the planet Vulcan. They have this stigma related to this disease.
Well, that sounds kind of emotional to have a stigma.
Yeah, well, a little bit. Yeah, but that if they even went there, that would have been a good thing. But no. So this episode is really about AIDS. But the problem is that the episode is 10 years too late. If it was 10 years previous, it would have been a challenging episode. It would have made people think. But we have come a long way in dealing with AIDS. We're not perfect, obviously, and we probably never will be. But the thing is, that episode wasn't challenging because of the context, the time that it was released in. So they really just, I just didn't feel like they knew what they were doing. Now, later on, apparently, it got going. And they developed this thread that people started to really like. I wasn't watching it. I dropped in for a couple of episodes, but I still saw the same thing where every loose end was tied up and I felt all warm and fuzzy, and it just wasn't my thing. Now, one thing I noticed is that I would mention this to people and they'd say, well, you should be watching Battlestar Galactica. If you like Deep Space Nine, Battlestar Galactica is this great new show. And I actually watched the first episode of Galactica and it was a good show, but I didn't ever follow through and watch the rest. Now I'm going to wait for it to come out on Blu-ray and watch it then. But, what happened was actually one of the Star Trek alumni went to Battlestar Galactica, Ronald D. Moore, who produced 75 episodes of The Next Generation and over 100 of Deep Space Nine. And he took Deep Space Nine basically with him, I believe, into Galactica, because Galactica is a very, the dirty sort of, you don't have a nice clean ending to each episode. And that's one of the strengths that I've heard about Galactica. And it's funny, he actually was, Ronald D. Moore was on Voyager for a whopping 2 episodes. So he bailed out when the getting was good. He got out while the getting was good.
And okay, hold that thought. And if you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-344-1170 to chime in and comment. Maybe you're a Star Trek geek too. And we do have 2 questions still out there for a consolation prize. Name the captain that Captain Kirk immediately seceded, or the first member of the original cast to die. And we'll take Barrett in Pacific Beach. Go ahead, Barrett.
Oh, you're talking about the episode where they had those illusion creatures and the captain was in a machine that was keeping him alive, the original captain. Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Oh, well, you know what? I'll still give it to you. That was Captain Christopher Pike. It was called The Menagerie.
Pike, yeah,
yes.
It would have come to me any other time. But I got to say, you know where the term get a life was originated?
Probably from people that watch Star Trek.
No, William Shatner originated it.
Oh, yes.
Saturday Night Live episode when some people were asking him about Star Trek and saying live long and prosper, and he's sick of it. He said, get a life!
And not only that, Barrett, A, it was a hilarious skit, but B, it leaked out to the fans that he really actually meant it. He was doing a skit, and it leaked out that he actually felt that way, and he alienated a lot of fans.
Yeah. I feel that way, too, because Star Trek is based on the belief of original evolution, which is bogus. Star Trek and Star Wars and all of those things. I can't stand them, and you're repelling a lot of your listeners right now, I can assure you, because all of those science fiction episodes are in direct opposition to the Bible and everything the Bible stands for.
Well, you know, I've found that episode by episode, it's been different. I actually watched Star Trek before I became a Christian. And
so did I.
There were not just Star Trek, but the plays of Arthur Miller, many novels I was reading, anything that talked about the fallacy of man. I wasn't brought up in the church. I didn't read the Bible. Now, when you get into the next generation and they're talking about the evolution of man, I agree with you. But episode to episode and writer to writer, to me, it's been a mixed bag.
Bob, we're not going to see Gene Roddenberry at the wedding feast, okay?
I don't know that.
He's not going to be anywhere near it.
I don't know his heart, Barrett. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. I'm not saying we will. I'm just saying I don't actually know that.
Well, I know that there's some listeners out there that have got to concur with me, and my fiance does, that this Star Trek stuff is just, it's the old man.
Let me go ahead and ask you a question. Have you seen any of the Deep Space Nine episodes?
Oh, but the last few. I got so sick of Star Trek, I can't stand it. I haven't seen the last few.
Hey, but you watched it for a long time. Did you think you were sinning every time you watched it, Barrett? It doesn't sound like you thought you did.
I stopped watching it in the late 80s.
Okay.
You know, that's unbelievable. It was 20 years ago already, but that's when I stopped.
But I, for every episode that's talked about how man's morally evolving, which I agree is bogus, I've seen all kinds of episodes on the fallibility of man.
That's why the Catholic Church just endorsed evolution and UFOs, because UFOs follow from belief in evolution.
Okay, but we're not endorsing evolution or UFOs. But I do think that sometimes arts reflect where we're at as a culture. Anyway, thank you for calling in, Barrett. And we have Ross and Santee. Ross, go ahead. Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show.
Hi, Bob. Remember when we made up some lyrics to the Star Trek Next Generation?
Yeah, you don't think you're going to get me to sing those lyrics over the air, do you, Ross?
No, I'll go ahead and take over. After all, I think some geeks will.
I think there's a few words in those lyrics you probably can't even sing over the air. You better not try that, Ross. What you want to try for one of the trivia questions?
Well, one of the trivia questions is already taken up, and I have no clue about the other one.
You know, I have no clue about the other one. Okay, the other one, for anyone else who wants to try it, first member of the original cast, the actor, to actually die. And since nobody's gotten it yet, I'll give another clue on that one. He was also the first character from the original series to be featured on The Next Generation, as if he had outlawed all his friends. Got to see the irony of that one. Thanks for calling in, Ross. And we have Rob in Lakeside. Rob, welcome to the Bob Siegel Show.
Hey, I agree with the last caller. Star Trek had nothing to do with Christianity, unfortunately. I hate to burst the bubble, but it was pretty much, kind of everything against the Bible and everything. And Deep Space Nine would be the only series that, kind of touched on religion with the whole Pah race and the prophets thing. That would be the only series that touched on religion.
But now, Rob, you understand that Mark and I are not here saying that we believe that Star Trek is the gospel. We admitted right at the front that there are all kinds of episodes in Star Trek, particularly in the later incarnations, that are very against Christianity. My contention is that in the original series, they talked about the fallibility of man. Sure. There was an episode where Kirk got split, and you had the negative and positive side of him, and they didn't use the word sin, but they were talking about the sinful side of man. We're not saying that the four spiritual laws of Jesus Christ are in there.
Right, but you're talking the alternate universe. You're talking where Kirk was the alternate universe where he was evil.
That would be actually another example. That's not the one Bob was talking about.
This was one where the transporter split him, and there was a negative side of his nature. They called it the savage side of the nature. And they didn't use the word sin. But see, I watched this before I was a Christian, and it got me thinking about human nature. And I'm not saying Star Trek was the only thing. I think Arthur Miller's plays like The Crucible and Incident at Vichy and just stuff that's maybe a little more honored in the arts had something to do with it, too. But cultural expressions are found in the arts.
And that's true. And now the other thing is to give you a hint on this episode as well. This is the first episode where they introduce the Vulcan neck pinch. Now, I think I just threw out some more of my coolness credentials there. They just went down the tubes by knowing that. But
the episode
that you're talking about where Kirk is split in two, Spock actually has to go knock bad Kirk out, and he does the Vulcan neck pinch. He was actually originally scripted just hit him over the head.
Okay.
And so Nimoy invented that. So anyway, there you go.
Go ahead, Rob.
Star Trek to me was all about humanity and humanity getting along. And unfortunately, religion, when you get all the religions together, a lot of the religions are against each other. When you got Muslims and you got, you know, Christians, you got Catholics, you've got Buddhism and stuff, you know, there's no harmony there. But Star Trek was always about harmony and mankind getting together. Deep Space Nine, they had the dark side because, you know, it wasn't humanity against each other. It was the alien races against humanity.
Now, where are you at? Are you calling us a Christian that doesn't like Star Trek? Or are you saying you like Star Trek and you think it's better than religion and Christianity?
I think Star Trek is better than religion.
Okay.
You don't agree with Barrett at all. Let me finish. Star Trek gives me more of a reason to like everybody and to get along and to love everybody than religion ever has. Star Trek, I have always said this since the first time that I started watching Star Trek. I'm only 30. I wasn't around for the original. I saw it on the repeat. I'm a next gen. Love Deep Space Nine. I love Voyager. I do love Enterprise. I love them all. But Star Trek is the humanity that we all get along. There's no war. There's no famine. There's no poverty. That was the morals that Gene Roddenberry.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Rob. When you look at the real world and the real humanity, do you see any evidence that human beings are really getting along?
We're not. No, absolutely not.
So it seems like the Bible's appraisal of humanity is a little more accurate than Star Trek's appraisal, wouldn't it be?
No. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible. I mean, look, the Bible said that it was okay to have slaves and stuff like that.
No, it does. The slavery's condemned in three verses in the New Testament, actually.
But again, that's just that. But Star Trek was always about everyone getting along and stuff. And I do want to answer I have the answer to your question,
okay,
by the way.
You're going to get a copy of my book about Christianity, though. But you know what? If you got that book and read it and wanted to call in and even tell me where you disagree, I would love to talk with you more. You sound like a bright person, and I'd love to talk with you more about this.
Thank you, bro. Can I answer your question?
Absolutely.
The actress that starred in everything is the late Majel Barrett Roddenberry,
yes.
Gene Roddenberry's wife. She played the original number one in the original pilot episode.
Okay, we actually did have somebody already call in and say that. You might not have heard her. But
I apologize.
That's okay.
That's all right.
You say that question was still up.
Okay, that's okay, but we had another one on the board too. Did you get that one? The first member of the original cast to die, but also the first member for the original series.
Oh yeah, that would be Leonard Nimoy, Bones. He was the very first
DeForest Kelly, Bones. Yes,
yeah, that's DeForest Kelly.
That's right. DeForest
Kelly. I'm, my God, I can't believe I just.
But
did
Rob,
that
was strangely ironic, wasn't it? He was the only one that was supposed to outlive everybody else, and then he actually ended up being the first cast member to pass away.
Pretty much, but you know, Majel Barrett Roddenberry passed away too.
Yeah, she did last year.
Yeah, she did. Which means, oh my gosh, Mark, we'll finally have an incarnation without Majel Barrett in this next movie.
No, not in this next movie. She's in it.
Well, Rob, stay on the lines. Oh, we already have your information from when you called about the ticket, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll send you the ticket and the book. Now, thank you, my friend, for calling in. I appreciate it.
Okay, and I want to actually address this. The thing about war, and actually, war plays a big role in Star Trek. There's in the Next Generation's first, I think it's the end of the first season, they are infiltrated by an alien species and a war within humanity is starting, and that's averted at the last moment. Then there's war with the Borg, obviously that's a big, huge part of the Next Generation. And then war plays a huge role throughout the rest of Deep Space Nine. I mean, that's the best part of Deep Space Nine, the conflict that occurs from the war. So war is still in existence, and humanity still has to respond to that. Now, does that mean that we are still evolved if we are fighting a war to protect ourselves? Have we truly morally evolved? Or are we still sinful people in a sinful world? What is the answer to that question? And I don't even actually know what the answer to that question is. That's a hard question.
Well, and different writers and directors of Star Trek would probably give different answers. But what I like about the arts is it would make people, like you mentioned, Dead Poets Society is one of the films you like. One of the things about Dead Poets Society is it glorified seeing the arts with a friend or reading the arts with a friend. And then talking about it, it's just a good thing for human beings to have conversations. Are we morally evolving? Or are we sinful by nature? 1-888-344-1170. Let's go to the phones. Cameron, Joey, welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Is Joey off the line, Cameron? Okay, so Joey gave up on us. Go ahead and continue then, Mark.
All right, well, that's all right. Okay, now, in terms of it being Christian or not, there is one episode that absolutely, 100%, without a doubt, is a Christian theme. Okay, they actually acknowledge and believe in the existence of Christ.
Okay, we're going to leave our audience in suspense because I'm pretty sure I'm geeky enough of a Star Trek person to know the answer. But what was the one where they actually came out in so many words and talked about Christ? We'll be right back.
How many times have you heard the phrase, "they're all the same," applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home? Or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work, completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jim Bell, said, "When people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuilt." For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuiltInc.com. That's ProBuiltInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuilt.
I'd like to remind all of my listeners that The Bob Siegel Show has a sister program on our sister station, KPRZ 1210 on the dial. Every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30, you can hear City Voice. On this provocative program, my good friend George Runyon interviews a different local Christian ministry every week. You can listen to the show while driving to church, and don't be surprised, you may find it so interesting that you'll stay in the parking lot continuing to listen and skipping those Sunday school donuts. That's City Voice with George Runyon, every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30 on our sister station, KPRZ 1210. But right now, you're listening to KCBQ 1170.
You can see them in his mind. He can hear them.
Locutus.
In his soul, he can feel them.
I've just received a report from Deep Space 5. Long-range sensors have picked up...
Yes, I know. The Borg set a course for Earth. Maximum warp.
You're listening to now, the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture, and whether some of you like it or not, Star Trek is a part of our pop culture. And there have been episodes of Star Trek that I thought were diametrically opposed to the teachings of the Bible. Others that were very much in sync with the teachings of the Bible. And that's because different writers ask different episodes. But we believe it's a good thing to talk about the arts. My Bachelor of Arts degree is in drama. My master's degree is in Bible. I think it's good sometimes to talk about both. That's why I'm geek enough to do this show. As for why Mark's geeky enough to do it, I'll let him tell you.
All right. Well, I think it's obvious now that I am geeky enough to do this show for Star Trek. That's the episode of the original series that acknowledged Christ is they go to this planet that is actually a duplicate of the Roman Empire, and they beam down and have some fights, and they hear about the sun worshipers throughout the episode. And it's not a major part of the episode. It's just referred to as part of the culture that they're infiltrating. And they do some gladiatorial games and stuff, and then finally get beamed back up to the ship. And the great reveal at the end of the episode, and they refer to the sun worshipers one more time, and there's something about how that's an unusual belief system for such a advanced culture. And then Uhura pipes in and gives the last line of the episode. It's not the sun in the sky. It's the Son of God. And then the episode sort of fades out at that point. So they acknowledge at that moment that Christ existed, lived, actually was a part of their universe as the Son of God. And he is again on this other planet, which is living a somewhat duplicate history of the Earth. And the duplicate histories is actually a pretend theme that they have in Star Trek. There's other episodes where they actually invent a fake theory of duplicate, you know, this, I can't remember what it's called, duplicate history. But So that's where that episode, it introduces that concept in that episode. But anyway, there it is. Christ is acknowledged, recognized, part of the Star Trek universe, undeniable. There's no way you can sort of interpret your way around that one. But again, as has been pointed out, The Next Generation introduces the idea of human evolution, moral evolution, actually more specifically. We don't evolve into greater physical beings. We evolved into greater moral beings, which is something that I definitely disagree with. We have not seen that throughout history.
There's no evidence of that whatsoever. Exactly. In fact, in the 20th and 21st centuries, some of the most horrendous things that man has done have been done. We're evolving as far as technology goes. There's no evidence of any kind of moral evolution whatsoever.
And I can actually agree with the caller that says that is a good view of history. He wishes, I mean, that gives hope, because that is a hopeful view that we are evolving. But now, if Christians lived by 100% by the teachings of Christ, we would probably reach that goal of unity. But part of Christianity is also the bad news that we have a sinful side and we can't live up to the teachings of Christ 100%, which is why Christ died on the cross.
On the other hand, when Christians have lived up to it, for instance, we had a caller call in and said, well, slavery is condoned in the Bible. That's not true. What is true is that slavery was abolished in both England and America, and the original forerunners of the anti-slave movement were Christians.
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, they've even made a movie, Amazing Grace, about the man who abolished slavery, William Wilberforce.
Yeah, an abolitionist even before we abolished it in America.
And that's a good Christian movie that I didn't put that on my list.
Now, I do have to say one thing about that episode, Bread and Circuses, though. It's true that they mentioned Christ, but then they went on to talk about how Christ's message was that we're all brothers.
Oh, they did?
Christ's message is that we're all sinful and we need to be saved.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Yeah, a little twisting of his message. So, okay,
but
now
they did mention Christ. That
yes,
was good.
And acknowledged him as a real living being and as the Son of God. Now in The Next Generation, as we've talked about, there they do have this belief in moral evolution. It's a theme of The Next Generation and all of the following series. But what they do is they have episodes that continuously deny that premise. They deny it constantly. And those are the best episodes when they deny the premise. I already pointed out First Contact, where they fly in the face of this idea. Other episodes, The Most Toys was a Next Generation episode where Data is captured by somebody who's collecting unique items, Data being an android on the deck of the Enterprise, the only android in existence. He's unique. So this man captures Data and adds him to his collection. The final moment of the movie, Data has a weapon pointed to the collector and fires the weapon, and he's beamed to the Enterprise at that very moment. Now, we don't actually see Data fire the weapon. We hear they're beaming him up, and then the person in charge of the console says, Data's holding a weapon, and it's been discharged. I'll disarm it. And then Data comes onto the Enterprise, and they say, you fired your weapon. Data says, you must be mistaken, and hands the weapon to Captain Picard and walks away. So they leave it up in the air. It's a great episode. Now, Data doesn't have a sin nature because he's an android without emotions. Why would he fire the weapon? That is a great question, and that's one of the greatest episodes of the show because of that final moment in the show.
It's almost like he's closer to becoming human at that than any other episode, and his first human emotion is emotion of violence and vengeance.
Yeah, isn't that it's a compelling tragedy in its own right. Worf is Mr. Worf, who's a Klingon throughout the series. He demonstrates, and I think they use the Klingons to demonstrate man's more aggressive nature. That was the outlet in the sin nature. There's an episode where Worf kills his rival outright. He's given an order to stop, and he still kills the guy. And it's a great moment in the show because it's very satisfying, but it's also the wrong thing for him to have done. Another episode. Now, one of the other great episodes is called The Survivors. This is an episode about they come to a planet, the Next Generation crew comes to a planet that's wiped out except for a single house on the whole planet. And there's a woman and a man living there. And they come to learn that the woman she's imaginary. She's created by the man. The man is a godlike being. And it was his wife. His wife was killed in this attack by this species. The species wiped out the whole planet, killed everybody but the man. and he is so embittered by the death of his wife that in a moment of passion, he destroys the whole alien species in one stroke, because again, he's godlike. And he's telling Picard, he's confessing to Picard, and he says, and Picard's answer is, I'm not fit to be your judge. And my question is, why not? If we are morally evolved, Picard is fit to be his judge.
Mark, thanks for joining us today. Don't forget, everybody, my debate on May 14th with atheist Eddie Tabish at Skyline, 7 o'clock. We had somebody that called in and defended Christianity over Star Trek. Somebody else that called in and defended Star Trek over Christianity. Only on The Bob Siegel Show.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.